Calvary. All I was in a discussion with someone yesterday via text, took all day, just off and on different times or whatever, and we got on a discussion about what happened before the foundation of the world. And I was reading it to somebody else today. I was reading it to a Mormon guy today. He said, man, that is good. That's good stuff. So I felt pretty blessed to hear a Mormon guy say that. He said, that's good doctrine. So I don't know what they believe, but anyway, it must not have been too bad for what he believes. So we just thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
I'm not going to be talking tonight, Lord willing, about that, but anyway, unless the Lord puts me over there, of course, if he does, then that's certainly fine with me, and I believe it'll be fine with you too, right?
Right.
So, welcome to the house of the Lord. Want to get into the scriptures now. I'm going to start reading in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And she will have it on the bulletin board, I believe. Yep, she's got it up there. I love my church family, you know what? I sure do. And our family is a lot bigger than what we fellowship with each week. We got a big church family out there. So one of these days, the Lord's going to get us all together for one final time. And we won't have to separate.
Yes.
Make sure you're going to be there. Amen.
Amen.
Make sure you're going to be there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. They cast out devils, did all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But you know, Satan can't cast out Satan. So they actually had the Spirit of God moving in them to help them do that. You know,
right.
But yet he said, I didn't know yet. So there's something beyond just being able to pray and have a miracle or something like that. That means that. So,
sure.
So let's go now to Matthew chapter 13. Now let's read about the parable of the tares and the wheat. Just remember that scripture we just read there twice. He mentioned it. You shall know them by their fruits. Matthew chapter 13, begin reading verse 24. I love these parables.
Yes.
Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So then the servants of the household came and said to him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles but to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now let's go to verse 36 and where he continues on as the disciples are interested in what he just said. Verse 36, And Jesus sent And Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world, of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Remember that while ago? Depart from me, you work for iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray just for a moment. Lord Jesus, as we get into the scriptures tonight, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would come, move upon us, Lord,
yes.
Move upon our hearts. Just let the gift and the inspiration from the Holy Spirit move tonight to share, Lord, what you want your people to hear and know. And Lord, to feed them, to feed me. Lord, we're here just to allow you to use us in your great plan of redemption. We know that every time you come here, Lord, something good always happens. Lord, we trust that. We believe in that. We know that you're here because we have gathered together here in thy name. So we give you the liberty tonight that you deserve. I ask that you be with us now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you can be seated. A total separation at the end time is what I want to title this. You know, we always want, when we come and minister, when we're talking to you and sharing the Word of God with you, we always want to be ministering something that is pertinent to your day, helps you in your walk, helps you become a stronger Christian, have greater faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. We always want to, you know, share things so it'll help you know the hour that we're in and know who you are,
right,
and give you strength. So that's really what we want to make sure and do. And so every time I'm ministering, I always want to try and bring anything that the Lord has given me. I like to try and bring it to where it is pertinent to today, which God's Word does that, by typology does that anyway. So I like to emphasize that. So a total separation at the end time. You know, Brother Rand preached a sermon called God's Word Calls for a Total Separation from Unbelief. Because it is unbelief in the Word that causes all the troubles. And certainly the Scriptures tells us that that in order to please God, you have to have faith, right? By faith. Because without it, it's impossible to please Him. And so we certainly want to separate from unbelief. And sometimes that means that we have to separate from others and people and things that their influence upon us is an influence of unbelief, right?
That's right.
If God wants us to totally separate from unbelief, then we certainly, that just doesn't mean just in our own thinking, but that means in all the things that influence us, and whether it be television shows or movies, Hollywood doesn't produce thing that gives you faith. It could be that. You know, we just want to identify by our own experience of the Lord. We want to identify through prayer and seeking God and watching and praying, identify the things that tear down our faith.
Right.
And get those things out of the way and put our confidence in and spend time with the Lord and with His Word. What had been burning on my heart for the last couple of days is the Scripture that says, if ye be risen with Christ, then seek those things from above.
Yeah.
Not the things on the earth, right? If we are resurrected and raised with Christ, then that's certainly what we want to do. Why would we want to chase after and have our mind and our whole spirit occupied in things that's going to perish? But if we're risen in Christ, why don't we set our affections on things above and chase after those things that endure to eternal life?
Right.
Right? That's what we should do. So, of course, there's your battle. But we read this parable of the tares and the wheat. And I want to point out there that there were two seeds there. Now, if you remember in the parable, when they came up, they were able... Now, these servants, they were typed by angels. And you know angels of God know what's right and what's wrong. They know the devil or whatever. And so they understood that they were tares and wheat. An enemy had come in there and sowed. And you have to realize that they're very much alike. And I guess to an untrained eye, to somebody that doesn't know, like angels, then probably these tares would be mistaken for wheat. And from what I understand, it can be poisonous, can be bad for you. And so this enemy come in and he sowed in a wrong seed there and wants that seed to look like believers. Right? Look like wheat.
Right.
So that the master of the field, who's this guy that sows these wicked seeds, is obviously an enemy to him, that this guy would mistake it and he would have great harm and his wheat crop would possibly fail or whatever it might be. This was the assault. And so the parable said that there were actually two seeds there, and those seeds looked alike. And so whenever the servants wanted to go out there and remove the tares, the master said, no, don't do that, because at this stage in the growth, if you try to remove those, you're probably going to tear up or root up some of the wheat. And I don't want that, because that wheat is what I'm after.
Yeah.
See, I'm not after the tares. I'm protecting that wheat. And right now, at this stage in the harvest, I don't want you to do that, because you might harm the wheat. But I'll tell you what, he said, at harvest time, when they put forth fruit, then we can deal with it. Then we can actually make this great separation. That's why I call it separation at the end time. Now we can cause a great separation to happen, to where we can actually go in and we can separate the wheat and the tares and not harm the wheat while we're getting the tares out of there.
Yeah.
Is that what the parable said?
Right.
And so there were two seeds there, one poisonous and one's not. And in order to really be able to deal with the situation, you had to have a total recognition of which was which, right? And so harvest time, the scriptures we just read said you'll know them by their fruit, right? You'll know them by their fruit. So you might look at it right now and say, well, I don't know which one's wheat, which one's tare. I don't know. But if you waited a while, when they begin to put forth fruit, then it would begin to manifest more. So at harvest time, clarity comes.
Yeah.
Clarity comes to the false teachings and the false stuff that's out there. When we read, it said, beware of false prophets. You're going to know them by their fruit. Beware of all this false stuff out there, because the time will come at the end where this thing's going to come forth, and you're going to be able to clearly see what the difference is. And my servants, I'm going to send my messengers, my angels, perhaps the preachers that you even listen to, not just church-age messengers, right? But even a preacher behind the pulpit is an angel from God, right? He's one sent. That's a messenger or whatever. And so he sends forth his angels and going to bring a separation, bring a message that's going to gather the wheat over and push them over here where they can be burnt by the judgment of God. But at the same time, the same message will separate God's wheat and prepare them for rapture going into the garner.
Right.
That's what would happen. But he said that would happen at the end time, right? At the end of the world, when these things are finished, then this is all going to happen. So great clarity comes at the end time to truly understand what is right in the eyes of God and what's not right in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. But you follow the typology there. So it takes a harvest time in order to bring this great separation, and it has to be harvest time for it to happen. It can't happen before that.
Right?
So Luther's age wasn't sufficient for God to go separate, because there were too much intermingling there, right? But as God preached Luther's message and bring a separation, Wesley's message, bring a separation, and the Brother Branham preaching, bring a little separation, bring the message there, bring the separation, see? The more that we got closer to this harvest time, that separation would come and finally get to a place where judgment could fall and rapture could take place.
Yeah.
In the same hour. And so this whole process works off of fruit inspection. Mm-hmm. You know, as a minister, I'm a fruit inspector. And parents are fruit inspectors. We're all fruit inspectors. We're always inspecting what fruit people are putting off in their life.
Yeah.
And you know, you got these people out here in the world that they've made Christianity just some dry confession, sign your name on a book, shake a preacher's hand or something like that, and now you're saved. Now you're all heaven bound, but no new birth. They have this profession, but they don't have a possession. And so they don't have any fruit.
Right.
And so anytime that you interact with them and you begin to talk to them about the deeper things of the gospel and how that God will make a fruit appear in your life, they get offended.
Yeah.
And remember, at the end time especially, there would be people who would be offended. And Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. So it's blessed. If you're not offended in the word, it's blessed. You know what? The word breaks my hide many times, but I'm not offended at it.
Yeah.
I'm blessed by it, right? I'm blessed. But it takes a separation to make this happen in the end time, and which means that there has to be an inspection. And so you begin to break this down to people, and they get offended, and they tell you you're judging them. And I've said this recently, you know, they better get over that, because this generation is going to stand before the believers of this hour. They're going to stand before us. And if you don't want me telling you right now while there's grace and mercy on how to get right with God, if you don't want to hear it now, what are you going to do then when you stand before me and I can't say anything except what he says, and it is depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Right.
Regardless how religious they are, see. And so, but it's the fruit inspection that makes this work. Has to be harvest time, and then we can begin to see why. Because like I've said, everything has to come out and show its true colors at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's why this stuff is doing what it's doing out there. Why the world's the way it is. The government's the way they are. All the different movements that's out there. That's what it's all about. Because that's what's in their heart. That's the gene that was in them to manifest. Like I said last Sunday, that gene down inside for blue eyes or brown. Was it brown eyes, brother? Brown eyes. That gene cries out. It can't do anything but manifest brown eyes. And it won't be satisfied until it does it. And when it puts it out there, then it's happy, because now it's being what it is.
That's right.
Be itself. That's the best thing you can do. I keep telling young people, best thing you can do is just be yourself. And if somebody falls in love with you, you being yourself, when you get married, the next day when you get up, you can be yourself.
Yep.
All right? Don't ever act something different than what you are. Be yourself, and that's a huge portion of getting the right one. When you don't act, you just be yourself. Like I said, if you walk like a cow through the pasture plopping along, just walk like a cow through the pasture plopping along. And when he falls in love with you, sister, or vice versa, then you'll know no surprises.
Yeah.
Right? So, be what you are. Don't be something different. Be what you are. So fruit wants to bear what it is, and it's when that fruit is coming forth, then this great separation at the end time can take place. God wants to separate us from unbelievers. God wants to separate us from unbelief. Let me put it that way. I shouldn't say unbelievers so much, but unbelief, because we certainly want to be around to help and be an influence, okay? But he wants to separate us from unbelief so that they do not affect us and constrain us. Now, I try to grow some things, and I plant tomato seeds, and we have this tomatoes that we grow, the delicious brand, I guess is what you call her, species. It's called Delicious, and they are. I think they are delicious, but I planted them this year. We had them growing, and I had to leave to do something the other day. I forget what it was, and I asked my wife if she could go out there, and I'd already placed holes in the ground for them to be put in, and so I had this big box with a grow light in there, and so they were all in these cups in there, and here's all these tomato plants, and over to the side by itself, I had a pepper plant. Now, when you look at that pepper plant sitting there, and it's about that tall, and you look at it, and you look at tomato plants, because I've done it many times, I can't tell them apart. I cannot tell them apart. So I asked my wife if she would take care of planting them, and I left. Well, they went out there and planted all those, and when I went back, there was actually a few extra tomato plants than what we needed, what we had holes for. And I went out there and I looked, and there was those tomato plants, a few of them there, and I looked over, and that pepper was gone. Now, you see what they did? Nothing bad about them. Can't tell them apart. They grabbed that one, and out there in the garden somewhere where all them tomato plants were, there was a pepper plant. But I can guarantee you that if those plants would have had fruit on them, that would have never happened.
Right.
If there had been fruit on those plants, they'd have planted tomato plants, and that pepper would still be in that light, that box with the light in it.
Yeah.
All right? There's your example right there. At harvest time, clarity comes. You know, and so it's kind of interesting how the Lord will give you something, and then you look around and things have happened in your life that goes right along with what he wants you to say.
Right.
And so I kind of like that, you know. But and so, bless their hearts. Well, all of them died anyway. So I had to go buy some different plants because we don't have time to get more seeds. But the Lord's blessed us with that, so we're okay. So there's a great separation comes based upon fruit. Now, what kind of fruit? We have people in this hour that think, as far as the Christianity is concerned, that a shout or a speaking in tongues or sensation is fruit. Right? We have them that think that that's what it is. And so, but there is a real true fruit of God that once you inspect that real true fruit of God, by looking at that, you can determine that it's not tare. Right? But if you're looking at the experience and say, well, they spoke in tongues, and you think that declares that it's not tare, you're messed up. Because tare is speaking tongues.
Yeah.
Right? They're religious.
Right.
They look like it. But there's a separation to come to separate it out. So it's not by tongues. And they might say, well, I had chills run over me when I went to the altar. That don't mean nothing. Tares have the same thing, right?
Right.
Every one of these gifts and these manifestations like that can be imitated by the devil.
Right.
Right? It took a prophet to open our eyes to that. But nobody wants to believe that. Outside of the message, nobody wants to hear what that right there. But I call you to the scripture we just read where he said, many will say to me in that day, have I not cast out devils in thy name?
Yeah.
And done all these mighty works and things in thy name. And he didn't deny it. Because if they cast out devils, they had to do it by the Spirit of God. But that does not mean that they themselves were right with God. And that does not mean that they were weak. So he answers back to them, says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Yeah.
I never knew you. Think about that. Isn't he God? Isn't he foreknowledge and all omnipotent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And omniscience, or whatever, I have a hard time saying that, but omniscience, knowing all things. Doesn't he know before the world was? Didn't he know everybody's name and every flea that would bat its eye and how much tallow it would have? And I still don't know what tallow is, but that's a quote Brother Branham gave. Isn't God still that way? But yet he says, I never knew.
Yeah.
That's something to think about. Because he never knew. But he put it this way. We know that if we are predestinated seed of God, wheat of God, that at some point he will put his life within us as a man would his wife. He would know her. So he says, I never knew you. You might have had my anointing of the rain falling on the just and the unjust. You might have had that out on the outward. But I never placed that gene of life down inside you in your soul from the foundation of the world. I never knew you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can do whatever. But if he doesn't place that within there, they're gone anyway. No matter what they look like, no matter what their profession is. So it's not just some sort of sensation or something that is proof. It's not just a confession without a profession. It's not anything like that. That's not what you can look at for truth, as proof of whether or not it is actually a gene of God or not. But what is it? It is belief. Belief of the total and complete word of God for your hour, especially this hour where it's all been unfolded to us.
Yeah.
You realize in Luther's day, there were still some things that hadn't been revealed. But for the Gentile people, the message has brought forth those things that we need. And so the full word for us Gentile people has been revealed to us. I say that because when he turns to the Jews, he's going to tell and do some things for them that we probably know nothing about. But for we Gentiles, enough for us to have a rapture. It's been revealed. It's in there. It's on the tapes. It's being preached in sermons. It's moving through the church, through the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And rapture is at hand.
Right.
And so But that fruit that you can truly inspect, you'll know by their fruits. That fruit is, do they really believe the revealed word of God for their hour? That's it. Because everything else can be imitated. You know, that's one thing Satan cannot do. He cannot take the word of God completely. Somewhere along the way, he has to balk at it. Somewhere along the way, he has to say, I can't go that route.
Right.
So these religious people, they might be ever so religious. These false prophets might be ever so prophetic or whatever. But the bottom line is that at some point along the way, they have to reject the revealed word of the hour. The word that's pertinent to us. Because we get to have what Luther had plus. We get to have what Wesley had plus. And they might believe Luther, they might believe Wesley, but if they don't believe what we've got now, see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then they're in trouble. So that it's not just what Luther said or Wesley, but it's definitely the revealed word of the hour. Do they believe that? Can they receive that? You remember Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, who was he? He was the Word made flesh. He was God in flesh, and he was the Word made flesh. But he was the Word that was foretold to come, standing there acting out exactly what it said he would be. There he was, and they couldn't recognize the Word made flesh and happening right in their midst.
Yeah.
They didn't catch it and see that prophetic event was right there unfolding, right there in front of them. Right? Well, so when he said, who do you say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. You know, Peter said, well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, well, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father's, he's revealed that to you, and upon this rock.
Right.
This concept, this fact, because a revelation is a rock. The Word, you build on the Word, is a rock. So this rock of the Word of the hour being revealed to you, Satan will never be able to come against you with his gates of hell. Because you're built on the revealed word while it's happening.
Yeah.
So as Jesus was foretold to come, and there he was doing it, and they either could or could not accept it or recognize it, so is it that that same Jesus, that same word has been prophesied to do things in this day, and here it is happening, coming forth right now, acting out just exactly what the scripture said it would be, and people can't see it, a lot of them. But there it is. If you can catch what's going on in this hour, the revealed word of the hour, Satan will never be able to move you.
Mm-hmm.
That gates of hell will never be able to touch you. Because you're built on the rock. Right? Upon this rock I'll build my church.
Yeah.
Right? And no flood. Nothing's going to come and take them off that rock because they're built on it. Consequences wise, otherwise, there's a church out here in the world that's known that their system comes from a bottomless pit. They don't have a foundation. You don't have anything that you can build on. The Bible, the Word, is the foundation. They have no scriptural foundation for what they believe. Therefore, it is not said that it's the church of God built on the solid rock. But rather, it's a script. What the scripture said that it's built off. It comes from the bottomless pit. Okay, so there's no foundation for it. They have nothing out of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
See, but we have to build upon the Word, and not just Luther, Wesley, but the revealed Word of the hour. So there's your fruit. There's the thing that we have to look at and inspect and say, you know what? Here's the litmus test. Here's how we know whether it's a genuine weed of God or not. Can they believe all the Word that's been given in their day? Now Satan will come around and say, well, yeah, it sort of means what you're saying. Right?
Yeah.
And if you listen to him, he'll talk you into it. Next thing you know, with intellect, the same thing that Eve fell by with reasoning, you'll stop and you'll reason and say, yeah, I think that's right. And reason yourself out of the very truth of the vindicated word. And where you wind up, if you're not on the Word, you're hanging out over that bottomless pit.
Yeah.
So it's got to be back to the Scriptures. It's got to be back to the Word. And so we have to, in this end time, there has to be a total separation. And this wheat plants, we have to be totally separated from all the unbelief and all the false teachings and all the false systems to become that golden wheat in the presence of the sun, ripening in the presence of the sun. To go right into rapture, into the barn, and we can't go until we're ready. We can't go until all the heat of the field has, from the sun has really baked us, and we could be out there as we going, oh, it's so hot. Oh, can't you turn the heat down just a little bit? And the Lord could say, yeah, I could turn it down, but then you'd never ripen. And if you never ripen, I could never take you in a rapture. But if you let me pour the heat on, I'll separate you from this other bunch, and I'll pour the heat on, and you'll ripen up, and one of these days I'll take you and put you in my barn. I'll take you in the rapture. Right?
Yeah.
So, we have to separate from all things that hinder and be out in the presence of the Word, letting it bake us and letting it make us more of the Word of what we're called to be. So we'll never totally be blessed until we make that separation.
That's right.
We'll never totally be blessed and become the fullness of the wheat that's ready to be raptured into the barn unless we separate from unbelief. Unless we separate from these things in the world that hinder us and weight us down. The weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, as the scripture said. We'll never be totally blessed. Now, you know what? We are the children of Abraham, right? Now, Abraham was called to leave his folks and go out. Going to go to a land that God was showing. And so Abraham went out following after God. But guess what he did? He took Lot with him.
That's right.
He took Lot with him. And God could never fully bless Abraham as long as Lot was with him. Because Abraham went out, but he brought a little bit of what he was supposed to leave behind with him.
That's right.
So we can leave our lifestyle and worldly things like that and want to serve God. But if there's something we drag behind with us that's part of that old life, we'll never be fully blessed until we get rid of that.
That's right.
Right? Now, if you're a child of God like Abraham was, God will send circumstances to help you get rid of that thing that you're dragging along with you. Because that's exactly what happened to Abraham. Because we find in the scriptures, I think it's Genesis chapter 13, we find in the scriptures that after a while, there became a strife between Abraham's herdmen and Lot's herdmen.
Yeah.
And they were fighting over the land or whatever, and they begin to squabble. And so they had to do something about it. And so Lot looked towards Sodom. And he saw that the plains were well watered over that way. And he said, well, I'll just take this over here. And Abraham told him, well, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right.
Yeah.
So Abraham let Lot make the choice.
Right.
He didn't try to force nothing on him. Okay, now I want you to pay attention to these little details. But Lot lifted his eyes and saw that it was well watered toward Sodom. Hey, I think I could live a good life over in the next to the wickedness,
Yeah. Basically.
Mm-hmm. And so he left and went that way, headed off over towards Sodom. And of course, we know he got in trouble later on. He got taken captive and so forth. And so, but what I want to dwell on here just for a little bit before we go on is how that God had to see to it that there was a separation there. Before he could truly bless Abraham, Lot had to be separated from Abraham, and Lot is the one that went out. Right? Mm-hmm. Lot's the one that made the choice to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Mm-hmm. Right? Because Lot wasn't part of that promise.
Yeah.
Sometimes God, he calls you to follow him, and sometimes what he's asking you to do is leave things that you might find very hard to leave.
That's right.
It might be friends you've had for years. It might be a habit, watching movies or something, that whatever it might be that hinders you in faith. He might tell you, you know, you've got to lay that down. And as long as you hold on to it, you won't be fully blessed. But if you're a child of God, God will move things and cause things to happen and really force the issue with you, and you'll find yourself fighting and struggling over that. And the best thing to do is let it happen.
Yeah.
Because that is lagging you behind, if you let go of it, it'll go off on its own route, go right where it wants to go. And that might be somebody in your family, that might be a friend, that might be who knows what. And so sometimes it's even kinfolk. So we are the children of Abraham. So we find ourselves in the same condition. We find ourselves that God has called us to this gospel, but we've got to let go of things. We can't bring Lot with us.
Yeah.
And so we find out here at the end time where there's to be a great... And remember, now, As it was in Sodom, so shall it be. Right? Right? So that's what. So what happened? When Abraham was being revealed and his character was being molded and coming forth and it was being revealed what he was as the father of faith, all this was going on in the hour where there was a Sodom. And Sodom was very much in the picture of what was going on because of Lot. Right? But Abraham never went down there. He never went to Sodom. But Lot did. And so we're the children of Abraham, and that tells us that as we're beginning to come forth as the children, because as Brother Bram said, what God did with Abraham, he does with his seed.
Right.
So as he worked with Abraham, and Abraham was coming forth and becoming the father of faith, we become, in great expression, the children of Abraham and the faith of Abraham. We're being molded and made right in the presence of Sodom right over here close by.
Yeah.
But we're never supposed to go there. But you might be walking with and friends with someone who does go there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But God calls you to separate from those things. And as soon as you separate from those things, really, you don't have to shove it out. All you have to do is stand true to the promise God's given you, and they'll leave.
Right?
Right. They will separate. Why? Because you are staying with the Word. And at some point, that's what this stuff rises up in the message, and all these people fleeing out. You know what? They say they find liberty. Well, you know what? A believer finds liberty in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
A demon finds liberty out there in the world. So when they go, well, yeah, I'm free. Yeah, you're free because, you know, that's your appetite. And over here, you're constrained because you don't get to eat what you want.
That's right.
See? So, you know, all this going on, and I figured Lot probably had already looked, and he'd already thought, man, that land over there looks good. I mean, I don't have to go all the way to Sodom. I just go over there, and I'll be right there close by because the land's well-watered. And next thing you know, he's down there in Sodom, and he's even like a mayor of the city or some high dignitary or something like that. Right? So, we're the children of Abraham. We're being molded and made in the midst of a Sodom condition that's going on right now. But God is still dealing with us like he did Abraham. And he's telling us you've got to have a total separation. Here at the end time, when I'm trying to separate the tares from my wheat, I've got to get you to come right on into fruit. And when you begin to put on fruit, I'll be able to separate this other bunch from the midst of you. But you've got to start putting forth fruit yourself. You got to start becoming what the Word has said you are to be. And when you start doing that, these other things will be moving out of the way.
Yeah.
You got to do it, though. And so that's what he's telling us. And so as soon as we obey God, then these things begin to fall off. And as soon as the message really gets right down to where we're getting right into that time when we're starting to put forth fruit, you see all these people leaving.
Yeah.
Because the wheat's got to come forth in fullness of wheat. And when all that happens, then the rest leave. And when they leave, they always start pitching their tent towards Sodom.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at their post. They always pitch towards Sodom. They're to be pitied. These governments that are doing the things they are, and these agendas for homosexuals and all the stuff that has no life in it, there's no reproduction in it. So it's obviously that it's not from God. They're to be pitied because they're fulfilling the Word of God. Just like you and I are fulfilling the Word of God as the wheat of God and not tares of God. Because God has blessed us with the revelation to stay right in here and believe this Word even when it gets hard, to believe the Word when it's hard. Then we are fulfilling the Word of God, and these people are fulfilling the Word of God because somebody has to be that tear.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be inside the walls of Sodom. Somebody has to be of such a mindset that they want to force Sodom on others. That's the mindset this world has to come. They're to be pitied. But they're fulfilling the Word just like the bride is fulfilling the Word. So they always pitch their tent towards Sodom because that's where their heart is. That's where it goes. It always looks better there. I'm not much of one for for movies and stuff, but you know, that few movies that TNT did of the Bible series, and they show Abraham in there, and I think they did a really good job in expressing Abraham's character to Lot. Because Lot says, oh, I can get a better price. And Abraham says, oh, price. Yeah, I guess that does matter. You could tell Abraham wasn't concerned about price.
Yeah.
But Lot was. So you understand those kinds of things. I think they did a good job portraying that, because I can perceive that that's exactly what happened. Lot had his eyes on something different. And yet, the scripture said he was just, Lot, or righteous, figure which way he referred to, that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
Right.
Well, he had no business being down there. He had that influence of Abraham in his life, and no doubt that influence Abraham had on his life, then he got off down there, and that influence bothered him, because he was in the midst of all this stuff, so he was vexed. But Abraham never went down there in the first place. And so, they always go towards Sodom. But God will bring circumstances in our life. He'll bring circumstances in the message of the hour that will make it clear that there's a separation going on. That we have to separate from anything that causes unbelief.
Amen.
Because where's that truth of it's you'll know them by their fruit. And what is that fruit? Because they shout really loud? Because they sing really well? Can they sing like an archangel? Or is it because they believe the word even when the heat is hot?
Yeah.
And that's it. So when they believe it and the heat is hot, that means they're putting forth fruit and they're becoming ripe. They're getting close to rapture. And when all that begins to happen, that shuck begins to pull away. Begins to burn, because the shuck can't handle it. The shuck has no substance and no weight within themselves. They're just a covering. For a while they look like the real thing, but they're not. That was Pentecost. Looked like the genuine movement of God, but it wasn't, because if it was, we'd have been raptured long ago. But what's left is something else that has the same appearance as Pentecost did, but yet they've got substance, they've got strength, they've got weight in their experience, the weight of the word, not just the fluffiness of a sensation like they would have in Pentecost. And I believe in powerful moves of the Spirit. I don't have a problem with that. But it's always got to be back to the word, or else. So God will bring circumstances that will bring a separation on the basis of the word, on the basis of the word, and whether it's believed or not believed. God brings a total separation from unbelief. That's why Brother Ben talked about that. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but that types it to our age, like I've talked about. It's in this age that these things come forth, that Abraham, his seed, it's going through the same thing, getting ready for the promised son to come. So total separation from unbelief. A total separation from unbelief brings a total embracing to the word. Now, whenever you're talking about a total embracing, you're talking about to ultimately embracing becoming one with the word. And when I think about that, I think about the bride and the groom becoming one. And that's exactly what's happening. There's so many ways that this Bible tells this same story. Whether it's through the things you've heard tonight, whether it's through wise and foolish virgins or whatever it is, it tells it so many ways, but it's all there. And it tells the same story every time. That God's got a people who will hang to that word no matter what. And she's the celebrity of heaven. She's the elect bride. I want to be part of that. Not that I can take a thought upon myself and become that, and neither could you. But I thank God that there's something in me that says, that's right. And I'm willing to stand for it. God help us to stand in the day of heat.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
I'm not going to stand here and be haughty and say, I'll be able to. No, by the grace of God, we'll stand and stay true with this message.
Amen.
All the way to the end. Amen. It'll take His help. By humility, we will embrace it. And when the hour of showdown comes, we trust that He will be there in that hour of showdown.
Amen.
We will do our part now to walk and run and run well and do the things that we need to do. But when it comes right down to it, we're totally trusting Him every moment, every step of the way. And when we can't go any further, we're still going to trust in Him to take it from there.
Amen.
That's what we've got to do. because the whole system is rigged against you. The whole system of the world is rigged against you. But you know what? The Bible, the gospel, is rigged against them. Right? Because God is the author of it. So it brings a unity, a total embracing of the Word. Because, you know, if you have unbelief, you're not totally embracing the Word, right? But if you totally separate from unbelief, then you're embracing the entire Word. You are embracing the brethren completely. And that means that the blessings of that embracing will come forth in your life. So, we thank the Lord for His mercy upon us. Yes. And allow us to stand even in this hour. And I don't say that some of these people who have left, I'm not saying they won't come back. I don't know. I'm not going to heap upon them something that God didn't put there. And, you know, so you say, well, He did this, and, you know, well, God said vengeance is His. That's not for us to do. He'll take care of it. But you know what? Paul was a persecutor of the elect until he caught a revelation. So you know what? Barack Obama, if a revelation struck his heart, you'd have to call him brother. Mm-hmm. You know what? We hate, you know, we go like, oh, could you pick somebody else? No. I use that for a reason. Because his approval rating is so low, but I'll tell you, if that man ever caught a revelation of Jesus Christ in his heart and surrendered, you and I would have to put our arm around him and ask him to come up here and give his testimony behind this pulpit. That's right. And you say, Brother Tony, how can you do that? Because that's the grace of God. That is the grace of Almighty God. And actually, Paul said this. Paul said, you know what? Here he is taking me. I'm the guy that was persecuting them. I'm the guy that got letters. I'm going to put him in prison and everything else.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy. Right?
Yeah.
And he said, God took the bad guy and caused me to be the very messenger that was going to lay the foundation for the whole Gentile church to build upon. And he gave such a message that when Brother Branham went behind the curtain of time and you and I were standing there, and Brother Branham said, as Paul, whenever the scripture said, Christ, or when he said Christ would come, and he'll come to you first, Brother Branham, and you'll be judged, and if you're right, then you'll be accepted, and your people will be accepted. And Brother Branham said, well, does Paul have to stand that way, and Peter and the different ones? They said, yeah. And Brother Branham said, well, if Paul makes it, I'll make it, because I haven't given one bit from what Paul taught. And in that dimension that was beyond sublime,
yeah,
we all shouted with one accord, we're resting on that.
Yeah.
Now, what's that saying? That's saying that we, in that dimension, we knew that Apostle Paul was that man who God sent.
Mm-hmm.
And he laid that foundation. And we knew by revelation that if we make it at all, it'll be because we're built on what that man taught. So, what God took, a wicked man who was persecuting the church, and put the Holy Ghost in his life and made him a messenger to lay the foundation for every Gentile person that's going to be in there in the New Testament, right there laying on top of that, and we shouted, we're resting on that. And I'm saying it because Apostle Paul was a true messenger from God, permitted to write a huge portion of the New Testament. And so we don't doubt what Paul wrote at all. We believe it. So if the Holy Spirit could do that to a man who persecutes the church and then make him one of us, he can do it today too.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't do it. Right? Because there's no, if you look at my wickedness, of my sin, of my life, I'm no different than any other sinner. But by the grace of God, we stand where we are. So I am glad for the Holy Spirit moving in our lives to bring us to a separation from unbelief and make us a people like our father Abraham. You know, Abraham's, when Lot separated from him, you find out that when Lot got taken captivity, Abraham did not have a bad feeling toward Lot. Abraham was willing to go put his life on the line for the man who went and pitched towards Sodom.
Yeah.
Right. The man who fought with his herdman and it had his bitter separation, if you want to call it that. And yet Abraham went to his rescue. And did Lot come and join Abraham after he was rescued? No, he went right on out. And you know what happened to him. So you see, we've got to have the right attitude too.
Yes.
If we're the children of Abraham, we've got to have that attitude. That no matter what they do, right, they're still in our heart to be good to them. Amen. So we believe that. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord and Sister Hannah. Come on. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we get ready to close on the service tonight, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us and your word. Let's know, Lord, that this Bible speaks. Lord, there's so many layers and so many things there that just speaks and brings it right present to our day. Helps us to see what our battle is and helps us to see where our rubber meets the road, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray, God, that you continue to do these things among us. Continue to help us as your people, Lord, to be victorious. Cause us, Lord, to make you our confession, God, and not to have any unbelief anywhere in any part of our experience. And I know, Lord, that sounds like a great thing, but we believe, Lord, that your great Holy Spirit, your gospel working in us, that's exactly where you're taking us, to the place where there's no unbelief. We ask, God, that you help us, lead us and guide us as we go from this place tonight. We pray, God, that you protect each one, keep each one. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's see if we can find a song to close with here in just a minute. Amen. 663, that's a good one. I would not be denied.
Amen.
Amen. Pains of